Joining us now on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, senior writer for MLB Pipeline at MLB.com, Jim Callis.
Is he a senior and a writer or just a senior writer? I'm confused by that.
Well, Jim. I'm getting old. I'm getting old. But, Harry, are you guys all weeping about the Bears' brutal loss yesterday? I live here in the Chicago area, and I did not grow up here, so I'm not a Bears fan, but there's a lot of dashed Super Bowl dreams today in Chicagoland.
A lot of laughter from Packer fans for the most part.
How bad is it, though, Jim? There, how bad is it?
It's really bad. I guess the only way it could have been worse is maybe if the ball had bounced off the crossbar two or three times and hung there for a second and then fallen off. But, I don't know. I don't think, you know, now that it's been officially ruled a blocked slash tipped field goal makes anybody feel any better.
Nope.
But it's, people are crushed.
No. We're not crushed about trading Keon Broxton here in Milwaukee, especially for three players. When I saw the deal go down, I immediately tweeted out, I was like, I can't believe they got three guys for Keon Broxton. And then you see the quality of the guys they got for Keon Broxton. And Bobby Wall, I think that's how you say his name, I think he can contribute in this bullpen next year right away.
Yeah, I mean, he's got that potential. I mean, they got three guys who are all interesting that are far from sure things, but you got them for a guy who's superfluous and has taken up a roster spot you don't really want to give him. But yeah, I mean, could Bobby Wall contribute in the bullpen? He can. I mean, he can hit 100 miles an hour. He can sit in the upper 90s. Mm. He'll flash a pretty good curveball at times. He doesn't always throw strikes, but he's got a big league arm, and he spent most of the last, I think, three seasons it is in AAA. He's a potentially useful bullpen piece. And, you know, they got two other guys in Adam Hill who, you know, I think he's a reliever. In the long run, I mean, he does have three pitches. He doesn't throw a ton of strikes. I think he's more of that kind of setup man ceiling than really a starter ceiling. But, I mean, he can run his fastball in the mid-90s with sink, and he's got a hard slider. And then the shortstop they got, Felix Valerio, he's real interesting. I mean, he's a tiny guy. He's like 5'7". He wasn't a big-time international guy when the Mets signed him. But he went out and had a really strong year in the Dominican Summer League, and he can run and he can play defense. And, you know, I think it's, you know, the Dominican Summer League is by far the lowest level of professional baseball, but definitely an encouraging debut. And, you know, I always like these kinds of trades. You know, why not trade a guy who, you know, is superfluous? You have 8 million outfielders and get three guys. And if even one of these guys comes through at some point, then it's a good trade for you.
Did you see the Santana deal at all?
Which deal? The Domingo Santana deal?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that was, I'm trying to think, like, off the top of my head, it was
Ben Gamel.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, I actually like Domingo Santana, I think, more than Ben Gamel, but the problem is, I guess I'd say that in a vacuum. Like, Domingo Santana wasn't going to play for the Brewers. I like him as a better chance to be a regular somewhere. I think Gamble's got a better fourth outfielder, if that makes sense. I mean, he's not, you know, Santana's got more power. Gamble can play all three outfield spots and get on base. You know, he doesn't really have the power you want in a corner, and he's not really as fast as you want in a center fielder in terms of everyday player, but he's probably better suited to be that outfielder who can play all three spots. And, you know, that other guy they got in that trade, Zavolas, he's more of a pitchability right-hander. His changeup is probably his best pitch.
So then, can you assess the two trades? Are those win-win trades for the Brewers? I mean, did they get better or about the same?
You know, like I said, I mean, the Santana trade's tough for me. I'd rather have Domingo Santana.
Okay.
But if it's, I can only give Domingo Santana 150 at-bats, I'm not, you know, that's not really going to be productive, or 200 at-bats. So
yeah.
Gamble is probably a better fit on your current team where you're trying, you know. I mean, shoot, you were one win away from going for the World Series. So, I mean, you have a pretty high standard of what you're playing for. So Gamble probably helps you. You know, with Broxton, Broxton to me was always a guy who, you know, I think he's a much better athlete than he is a player. Like, he's got great tools, but there wasn't a ton of hitability. There was a lot of swing and miss. You know, he's never really hit consistently, you know, in the big leagues. So, you know, I kind of like the idea to trade him. I mean, I just don't know. I mean, what did he have, 75 at-bats last year with the Brewers? I don't know how you were going to get him at-bats this year anyway. So I like the idea, like you guys were saying. I mean, maybe Bobby Wall helps the bullpen this year, and maybe Adam Hill helps the bullpen down the road, or maybe Valeria, you know, winds up continuing to exceed expectations. I like that trade more.
Yeah, I agree with you totally. Ben Gamble didn't do anything for me. I'd rather have Santana, too. What about the rumors going around right now about Madison Bumgarner, talking with Jim Callis of MLB Pipeline? Here on The Fan, one of the names being thrown out there in the rumors John Morosi had earlier today was outfield prospects, and obviously their top outfield prospect that they have is Corey Ray at this point. Tristan Lutz obviously is another one, but Corey Ray's name seems to be the one attached in this deal. Your thoughts on Corey Ray and kind of a bust-out year last year, even though maybe his average wasn't where everybody wanted, finally started to display some of that power that he has.
Yeah, you know, we've talked about Corey on your show before, yep. And I've always felt like they didn't do the greatest job of handling the start to his career. They kind of rushed him, and then he got hurt, and then he was trying to make up for lost time. And I just always kind of felt like watching him in the fall league 2 years ago, like he was trying to make up for lost time and hit three home runs every at-bat, and it kind of messed him up. And I think this year he settled down some. I mean, I do think we've seen enough out of him now in 3 years of pro ball that, you know what, this guy is probably going to strike out. I mean, he's probably not going to hit for a super high average. But, I mean, he could be the type of guy who hits 250 and 25 homers and 25 steals and plays a solid center field. That's a pretty good player. You know, it's so interesting compared to where we've talked about the Brewers over the years, where, again, you know, they're one win away from going to the World Series, so it's an entirely different dynamic you're looking at. And, you know, it's tough because on one hand, you know, you have to question a little bit, you know, exactly how much does Madison Bumgarner have left in the tank? I mean, he did bounce back last year after getting hurt in 2017. It was pretty solid, but he's pitched a lot of innings at a young age. That would be a tough one. I mean, I guess, gun to my head, if I'm David Stearns and I can get Madison Bumgarner, and I haven't considered necessarily how the finances work, but
it's 1 year at $12 million essentially, and then he's a free agent.
Yeah, you know, and I guess I could offer him the qualifying offer and get a draft pick back. You know, yeah, I probably would pull the trigger on that. I mean, I know they did a wonderful job of finding starting pitching last year and having guys overachieve and using the opener in the playoffs. But you know what? I mean, given that I've already gotten outfield I've got Yelich in right and Kane in center. You know, Brian Braun, I know his contract will end sooner rather than later. But, you know, I probably would pull the trigger on that. I mean, I would be a little bit worried that I'm only getting, you know, I might only get 1 year out of Madison Bumgarner. And Corey Ray might be pretty good. But I do like Corey Ray. I don't know that Corey Ray, I mean, I don't feel like Corey Ray is going to be a superstar. I think he's more going to be a solid regular with a chance to, you know, have some all-star appearances here and there. I mean, there's going to be some swing and miss with the bat, you know, that you're going to have to deal with, but he could be a 25-25 guy.
Yeah, I was wondering maybe they will wait a few to see when pitchers and catchers report before they make a decision on any kind of pitching to find out what Jimmy Nelson can bring for them. Hopefully he can report on time there, because I think if they keep the bullpen the way they've done it, especially last year, you're almost one game away from getting to the World Series. I'm in the camp of not really going and trying to get some of these big splash names for the front of the rotation. If you can get guys to, you know, to go get to six and seven innings and get the bullpen and do like they've always done, I would just keep that formula going unless you get a Bumgarner. That's a deal, though. Not one of these big $30 million or $40 million. I just don't think you need that when you got the kind of bullpen you have.
Yeah, and I think so. I kind of like that thinking, too. I mean, there are going to be guys available during the season. I mean, I guess part of what would make him attractive to Milwaukee is that it's not a long-term deal. But, I mean, the other thing to remember, too, is that, I mean, you know, I know he was great out of the bullpen last year, kind of got there sooner than expected. But Corbin Burns, his track record starting in the minor leagues was pretty good, too. And so maybe you plug Corbin Burns into the rotation, you know, and find somebody else to kind of help you out bullpen-wise. But, like, I'm not so sure that, you know, Corbin Burns might not be a middle-of-the-rotation guy for you, too. So, I mean, at least I think they're in a good position where, you know, if you have a trade that makes sense, yes, but I wouldn't pick up a huge contract on somebody, and I wouldn't overpay to get a guy. I determine what I think a guy's worth, and I wouldn't go past that for him.
Talking with Jim Callis, who's the senior writer for MLB Pipeline at MLB.com. Jim, we talk about guys like Keston Hara, Corey Ray, the bigger names on the prospect list. Who are some under-the-radar prospects, maybe that people aren't paying much attention to right now, that you could see maybe competing for a role or maybe that are one-day future big leaguers?
Yeah, well, I mean, the competing for roles is a little bit tougher now because the team's so good. But one guy who's not too far away that I think really flies under the radar is Zach Brown. Right-hand pitcher was a fifth-round pick in 2016, same draft as Corey Ray. He's probably the best pitching prospect in the organization right now. He's got a really good curveball, solid fastball, throws a lot of strikes. I mean, you know, he had a real nice year in Double-A last year, so it's not out of the question. He could be ready at some point this year. I think he gets overlooked somewhat. I think a guy who got kind of, yeah, I mean, people, not necessarily that people didn't know who he was, but he got forgotten about a little bit because he tore up his knee last May and missed the rest of the year. But I think Mauricio Dubon is a guy who I think at the very least can be a really good utility guy, and I do think he has the ability to be an everyday player at second or short if you needed him to be. So I think he's an interesting one. And, you know, we talked about him after the draft last year. I mean, you know, they got Bryce Terang with the 21st overall pick in last year's draft, and a year before that, the previous summer, there were people talking about him being the number one overall pick, and I actually had, it's kind of interesting because he wound up with the Brewers, I had an evaluator compare him to Christian Yelich playing shortstop, but that was before Christian Yelich went out and was MVP, still, it was pretty good. So I'll be curious because, like, I do think with Terang, and this happens a lot, he was identified early, and then he didn't have an unbelievable senior season, and I think there was, like, some prospect fatigue with him. But he could wind up being a steal at 21. You know, he had a pretty solid debut. I'll be very curious to see how he does this year in A-ball. But, I mean, he's a guy that, you know, he's not quite, I think, on anybody's top 100 prospect list right now. We're all starting to come out with those lists. But I think, you know, by midseason, if he continues to play like that, he could be.
That was Jim Callis. You can find his work at MLB Pipeline, MLB.com. Jim, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, it was good talking to you guys.
You have a good one, man.
Thanks a lot, Jim. Appreciate it, buddy.
Care, guys.
Jim joined us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Start your renovation journey with a simple and convenient pre-approval from Great Midwest Bank, dedicated to providing perfectly personalized home loans to those right here in our communities since 1935.